Morning. This is the word of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 10 to 27. Hear, my child, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on, for they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong, and they are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what they stumble over. My child, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Keep straight the path of your feet and all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Thank you.
Good morning. It's such a warm day for fall. Can't believe I still get to preach in short sleeves. It's exciting. I'm really looking forward to continuing this series on the book of Proverbs in chapter 4 and talking about what it means to live righteously. Just a little bit of background, if you haven't been familiar necessarily with the book of Proverbs, Solomon was urged to pursue wisdom from his father David, even though wisdom came at a great cost. And Solomon, through this book, is showing us that wisdom is not just for the elite. It's not just for those who have advanced degrees. It's not just for those who love to read, but it is for everyone, all who want to live God's way are wise. In 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon asked for wisdom. God gave Solomon the ability to ask for anything. And Solomon chose wisdom above power and wealth. If you know me from August or before then, you know I like to have one phrase that if you're going to remember, I want you to remember it. So if you're taking notes, do me a favor and write down this phrase. The heart you guard shapes the path you walk. The heart you guard shapes the path you walk. This past from Thursday to Saturday, the church leadership, we were up north in Havelock, Ontario. It kind of looked like all other parts of northern Ontario. There were cows and goats and small country roads. And Noah and I drove up together, and I was very thankful for my GPS. Every time I get in the car, I just put in the address in Google Maps. It tells me exactly where I'm going. In fact, I even made a wrong turn, and it rerouted. So I still was able to get there safely. Now, Noah, being born in 2004, takes GPS for granted. I, however, being born in the 90s, remember a thing called MapQuest. Anyone remember MapQuest? My dad used to take us on a trip to Sibyl Point Provincial Park to go camping. And my dad was a great driver, but MapQuest was hard because you would download the directions and you would print them. And to him, this was like a huge technological advancement from the old school maps you had to open up. And without fail, every time we would take a wrong turn, and he would say, well, that wasn't on the MapQuest. And then we were lost. So this hour and a half drive would take 3 hours sometimes. Sometimes I would just fall asleep. But I'm reminded that the wisdom that comes from this book is like a GPS. We live in an upside down and broken world where we're going to go down paths, and sometimes you're going to make a wrong turn. But if you follow the wisdom that God provides, He will guide you back to the right path. Starting in verse 10, we see the way of wisdom, that if we walk in wisdom, it gives us a better life, a longer life, a more meaningful life. And if we go down the wrong path, this is death. We see this. If you choose to follow Jesus, you are granted eternal life. When we have our 80 or 90 years, hopefully, in this world, we get to go up and sit at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. If we do not live a path of righteousness, we do not accept Jesus into our hearts, we face death. I want to give a personal shout out to the parents. I love children's ministry and youth ministry. I think it's fundamentally one of the most important parts of the church. So for the parents, for the grandparents, for the aunts and uncles, for anyone who interacts with young people, I want to encourage you to prepare children in wisdom, not just worldly success. So many parents today get caught up about making sure that their kids are set up financially, their kids are set up academically. Make sure your kids are set up to walk in the path of the righteous. Teach them the wisdom that comes from God's word. I want to ask you, think to yourself right now, am I preparing the next generation for wisdom, or am I preparing them for worldly success? Unfortunately, we live in a world where wisdom is not always found in Scripture, but wisdom is found in what we see as wise. Too many people listen to podcasts like their Scripture. Too many people are not focused on God's Word. You can be very intelligent and not wise. My mom told me that, because when I got my master's degree, I said, "Mom, does this mean I'm smarter than you?" And she said, "Boy, you know nothing." Ooh, almost tripped there. So ask yourself, if you are teaching, Brother Roy, think about your grandchildren. You have three beautiful grandchildren, right? Are you teaching them how to walk in righteousness? Verses 14 to 15, Solomon says that we should not even start down an evil path. Because as we sin, it goes deeper and deeper. And the further you go, the harder it is to escape. Now, I have a story. When I was 18, on my first university campus, they had someone sign up to sign up for your first credit card. I got my first credit card. And I thought this was the best deal in the world. They gave me a $1,000 limit, and they told me that I could spend up to $1,000, and I only have to pay $10 a month. Isn't that a good deal? So I got my first credit card, and going to school downtown, I was right beside the Eaton Center. And we got some new clothes, we got some new shoes. We spent a lot of money on food. We were living good. And I remember that first credit card bill coming in. And I had spent $982. And it said the minimum payment was $10. But if you flip over the credit card bill, it says if you only make the minimum payment, it will take you over 20 years to pay back this debt. I remember reading that. I had to go to my parents and say, Mom, Dad, I got a credit card. And they're like, well, you were responsible with it? No. But they did what good parents do. They took out their checkbook, wrote me a check for $982, cleared the credit card. I'm always thankful for them for that. They also took the credit card away after. But what they did is what our Heavenly Father does for each of us. We sin so much, and no amount of good deeds will ever be able to pay back the sins that we commit throughout our lives. And you know what Jesus does? He comes and he says, don't worry, I've got it. And that debt that you could never pay off, let alone in 20 years, it's gone through the grace of God. So think to yourself, what doors to sin do I need to close right now before they become highways? What doors to sin do I need to close? Am I struggling with spending? Am I struggling with pornography? Am I struggling with addiction? Am I struggling with unpure thoughts? Am I struggling with swearing? Am I struggling in some way that I am not able to close the door myself? What Solomon is telling us, church family, is that those small steps, those small sins that we don't really take as that bad, before you know it, you are deeply in debt. And you don't know how to get out of it. See, Solomon advises that there are two paths. That there are the wicked and enslaved. And they can't rest until they sin. And the righteous, their path shines very brightly. I genuinely view sin as a great darkness that it's hard to escape from. While we were up in Havelock, Noah and I were the last two people awake on Friday night because we were playing ping pong. And the lights, we shut them off. And then Noah says, I forgot my phone, but we don't know where the light switch is. And it says the wicked stumble in darkness. Now, I don't think we're wicked. But I can tell you, we were like, let's be quiet. They're probably asleep. And we both fell. Because there was furniture that we didn't know the layout to. So imagine it, if you will. We're trying to find Noah's phone. We're in the light switch. We're like, okay, be quiet. And we fall. We fall. And you know what? We fall, and we look around, we're like, I don't think anyone heard that. I hope they're still asleep. You'll have to ask someone else on the retreat if they actually did hear us fall. But the thing is, I imagine that being in a life of sin is like being in a dark room with no light and not knowing how to escape. You can look around and feel the walls, but you're gonna keep falling. You're going to keep stumbling. You're going to keep tripping. But the righteous path, it shines brighter and brighter. So I believe that if you are stuck in a world of sin and you open up the Bible, or if you listen to a worship song, or if you have fellowship with a brother or sister who makes your heart feel warm and connected to the Lord, that is a light shining into the darkness. And that light will give you hope that you can walk out of that dark room. When I was in elementary school, we learned that if you just have a flashlight, you can stand 5 or 6 or 7 kilometers away, and if you shine that flashlight, it doesn't get blocked. People are going to be able to see the light. Church family, you're not going to know that your one conversation gave someone hope. You're not going to have an idea that praying for someone can shine that light into their heart. But if you are blessed enough to be walking down the path of righteousness, it is your duty to share that brightness and to guide those who are stumbling in darkness. The heart that you guard shapes the path that you walk. Church family, if you are guarding your heart and you are walking in brightness, you're going to be okay. And the heart that you guard, do you know how you guard your heart? Let me tell you. Pray. Pray for protection. Read your Bible. Spend time in fellowship. Worship often. Give thanks. These acts guard your heart to the enemy. I believe that Satan looks for any foothold to get into your life, to pull you down from that path of righteousness. So, church family, please guard your heart. We see in verses 20 to 22 that wisdom can be taught, but must be received. See, you can teach something. Ooh, Holy Spirit's working. You can teach something and people won't listen to it. Wesley, who just read, did an amazing job reading scripture. He's doing chemical engineering. Now, I'm assuming when your professors say stuff, you don't receive it right away, even though it's being taught to you. Takes a minute sometimes. See, I think many of us have tried to share the gospel, we've tried to evangelize, we've tried to share the light and the love of Jesus, but when we don't have an immediate miracle, we're discouraged. You see, Jesus addresses this very well in one of my favorite parables. He uses the example of a mustard seed, the smallest seed, and that when you share, it might not have an immediate impact, but that little seed can grow immensely. And you don't know when it's going to happen. But by sharing that seed, you are planting a seed of wisdom in your brothers and sisters. And I also want to say, those of you who are coming to church every single Sunday and are sitting here but not absorbing, not living in God's light, not paying attention, those of you who are on your phones, those of you who are not truly invested in the worship, you have to be willing to receive the wisdom that God is providing you. We don't get into heaven based on attendance. We get into heaven by having Jesus Christ as the anchor of our hearts. And see, your eyes, your ears, your hearts are all gateways to wisdom. I love that because 3,000 years ago, Solomon knew we don't all learn the same way. Some of us are visual learners where we like to read and learn information. Some of us need to listen. Some of us need to spend time listening and reflecting. Some of us just need to open our hearts and be around brothers and sisters who can represent Christ well. Use your entire body for wisdom, which we see in Romans chapter 12, 6 to 13. Paul says to offer your body to righteousness. Everything that you do should be used for righteousness. Now, this is my favorite part of this whole passage. Guard your heart. Satan aims for the heart of the Christian. We see in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, that God has given us a new heart. When you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, you are brand new. You are saved. Don't you think that makes Satan angry? Don't you think that makes Satan want to bring you back into darkness? Satan is going to aim for your heart when you are saved, because he doesn't want you to go to heaven. He doesn't want you to bring more people with you. He doesn't want you to be a beacon of righteousness and light in your community. He wants you to fail. Solomon knew this. And what does he instruct us to do? Guard your heart. So think right now about your life. What voices are shaping your life? What habits are shaping your life? Are you spending more time in the gym working out than you are in God's Word? Are you spending more time scrolling through reels on Instagram or Facebook than you are in learning? Are you spending more time in the 24-hour news cycle that we live in than you are being invested in things that are not of this world? What voices and habits are shaping your heart right now? Solomon concludes this passage by asking us to stay on the path of righteousness. He says, guard your words. Luke chapter 9, verse 62, instructs us to keep our eyes focused on the Lord. Church family, let's be candid with one another. I think many of us have spoken illy, poorly, of a brother or sister this week, right? Let's just be honest, yeah? I'm sure we've spoken or thought ill will or poorly of someone at our work or on the road. Somewhere, we have thought poorly of the people that we are supposed to love. Solomon tells us to guard our words. The reason we have to guard our words is because your words have great power. When people come into church for the first time, they are looking for something. They're looking for love. They're looking for acceptance. They're looking for answers. And how are they going to respond when the people who are occupying the pews do not speak well of outsiders? When they gossip about one another? When they do not represent Jesus the way they're supposed to? Guard your words, because your words could mean the difference between somebody being saved and someone not being saved. Your words can mean the difference between someone knowing Jesus and someone not knowing Jesus. You have great power. You are so blessed. Because by the same token that your words can hurt, your words can empower. The most powerful gift that each and every one of you have is your testimony about what Jesus has done in your life. So don't use your words to hurt. Don't use your words to speak ill. Use your words to uplift. Use your words to show righteousness. Use your words to show love. Use your words to affirm. You are welcome. We are all broken, but we need you here, because God has redeemed each and every one of us. Solomon tells us to think carefully before we talk. Think carefully before you step. Do not swerve right or left, but stay in the middle. That's what we should do for one another. See, we're all going to make wrong turns. We're all going to make mistakes. But imagine if the 100 people in this room were all walking down that straight path of righteousness together. And when we saw a brother or sister pulling away, we could just guide them back. Instead of one GPS, you have 100 GPSs telling you where to go. Do you think we'd lose many people? We're Baptists, we can interact. Do you think we'd lose a lot of people if we did that? No, we would walk together, right? Solomon wants us to walk together. God wants us to walk together. Because the heart that you guard shapes the path that you walk. So are you going to walk and choose to walk in righteousness? Or are you going to choose the path of darkness? Don't assume because you are sitting here on a Sunday morning that you are on a righteous path. We will only know you are on a righteous path if you, when people around you, when you feel Jesus in your heart. See, wisdom costs a lot. Let's be honest. Solomon's asking us to give up our Netflix time. He's asking us to give up our scrolling. He's asking us to do things that are challenging, to build ourselves up in the teachings of the gospel. But the reward is life. See, the wicked path will always look good because Satan knows how to tempt each and every one of you because he knows your weaknesses. He knows your struggles. See, the wicked path will always be tempting because it's easier. It's hard to live a godly life. It's easier to sit there on your phone. It's easy to, when you feel lost and broken and you want to feel good, to find something to drink to ease the pain instead of dealing with the core issue of how you feel. When you feel unloved, it's easier to find that love or lust in pornography than it is to find it in a community. Sin is always tempting, but the reward is death, and the reward to the righteous is life. So let's stay on the path of wisdom, church family, and let's do it together. Because the heart you guard shapes the path you walk. So I'm going to ask, you might think, wow, Pastor Tom, this is a quick sermon. I'm going to ask you to pray with the people around you, to guard your heart, to be vulnerable with one another, to actually talk about the things you are struggling with and where you need prayer and support. I'll give you guys a couple of minutes and then I will close us in prayer. But please, church family, know that guarding your heart is the key to staying on the path of righteousness.